Book of Luke, chapter 1, is the focus of our study today. Luke, chapter 1. We're going to read there in Luke, and we're going to focus our attention today on the announcement. What announcement? The birth of Jesus, the coming of the birth of Jesus. Pretty easy. Doesn't take a scholar to figure that out, right? Let's all stand as we read from the Word of God, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And the angel Gabriel, or as the angel Gabriel, appears to Mary. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that one who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the great love that you have shown toward us by sending your Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. And this season, Lord, we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we look forward to that day when Jesus shall return. Now, Lord, as we look into your word, give us understanding. Open our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears to what you've prepared for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, in the text, the angel Gabriel has just appeared to the Virgin Mary, the young lady, and his approach to her was, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. You found favor with God." Everything that the angel does at this point, it's a setting and attitude, an atmosphere, if you will, of celebration and of joy. He didn't just show up and say, "Hey, Mary, I got some news for you." That's not it. He says, "Rejoice." That word "rejoice" is a greeting, but it's not, "Hey, how you doing?" It's a greeting of, "I have wonderful news. Hey, Mary, are you ready for this? You're blessed more than anybody has ever been blessed before." And the reason I focus on this is because every Christmas it seems like we're in danger of losing our joy. You ever lose your joy? Okay? It's real easy to do at Christmas time. As a matter of fact, I'm told that there are a lot of people that go through the holidays very depressed because they're missing loved ones who have gone on before, or they don't have the finances to buy everything they would like to buy for their children, and even those people who are just trying to keep up with the busyness of the season. I mean, if you look around, you'll notice there are a lot of frowns in a time that is supposed to be very happy, you know? Well, so today I want to challenge you. Let's put the joy back in Christmas. Let's look at the reason, the real reason in which we celebrate. So how do we do that? Well, we begin with the message of the angel Gabriel to Mary. There's more here in this text than, hey, just a baby's going to be born. Okay? This is the message that the Messiah is coming. This is the message that the Savior is coming. And he appears to Mary and says, you will conceive and bring forth a son. That sounds like good news, right? Not just any son. It says this child will be great. I want you to think about that word great. The Greek word's megas. It means large. It means big. It means good, wonderful. Every good word you can think of is in this word. As a matter of fact, it kind of carries the idea here of this will be the greatest child that is ever born or ever will be born. Now, some of us think our children are that way. A lot of us think our grandchildren are that way. But this is the real deal, okay? This is the greatest child. He will be great. He will speak and the winds and the waves will obey his voice. He will be great and he will be able to say to the lame man, rise, take up your bed and walk. And that lame man will rise, take up his bed and walk. He will give sight to the blind. He will hang on that cross and pray the prayer, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. This is the guy that's about to be born. You see, we have a little advantage over Mary. Mary didn't have all this presented to her. She couldn't look ahead, but we can look behind. We can see the greatness of Jesus. And so, first thing we've got to do to have that victory at Christmas is realize how awesomely great that Jesus is. So great that death could not even hold him. Today, seated at the right hand of God. Do you know anybody else that's seated at the right hand of God? You see, our focus has to be Jesus. That has to be the reason for our celebration. As we see the greatness of the Messiah. Not only will he be great, it says he will be called the Son of the Most High. Now, if we're not real careful, we'll just breeze over all these things. But I want you to understand what that phrase, Son of the Most High, means. In that culture, a son was thought to be the carbon copy of their father. Have you ever heard people say, I'm not going to be like my dad? Or I'm not going to be like my mom? Well, you just hang in there with that and see how that works for you. Is it not going to work? There's something called genetics. You know, and I see myself becoming my dad. I see my mom in the things that I do, you know, and it just can't be helped. That's the idea here. When it says he shall be the Son of the Most High, it's saying he's going to be a carbon copy of his father. And his father was not Joseph. His father was the Most High, which is who? God. He would be the revelation of God the Father in the flesh. Have you ever seen someone that looked like their daddy? Or a lady, for that matter, that looked like their mom? That's what this is saying. As a matter of fact, John 14, verse 9, Jesus said, he who's seen me has seen the Father. Do you realize the life of Jesus was all about revealing God the Father to mankind as he walked on this earth? I'm glad we don't look around and have to wonder, I wonder what God's like. We know what God's like. We had the example of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God thinks, if you want to know what God likes, if you want to know what God dislikes, take a look at the life of Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And behold, and we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Those agnostics If you're an agnostic, bless your heart, and I say that with love. But you miss the point of the virgin birth of the Messiah. You miss the point of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God's revelation to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You realize this baby is about, or this birth announcement is about God dwelling among His people. That's good news. And He will be given the throne of His father David. Let me ask, do you know anybody important? Would you just raise your hand? Y'all are like me. I don't really either. You know, maybe some of you do, and I kind of, I don't know. That means something. You know, if you know the President of the United States, and we're not talking parties or politics, I'm talking about the position, okay? That kind of make you feel, I know the President. If Jesus came to introduce God to mankind, do you realize if you're a child of God, you know the ruler of the universe? Isn't that cool? I mean, yes, we do know somebody important. That important one is this child that was born of a virgin. Jesus, the royal bloodline that will sit on the throne of Israel and rule in the stead of his father David. And the exciting part about this, it's not done yet. You see, it's not through. Jesus wasn't just born. He lived. He died for the sin of mankind and rose from the grave and ascended to heaven. He's going to stay there forever. Jesus, my friends, is coming back. And He's coming back to set up His kingdom upon this earth to rule and to reign. And if you're a child of God, glory be to God, we're going to rule and reign with Him. Amen. Oh, see the good news? You see, so often we want to keep Him in the manger. Oh, what a pretty baby in the manger. And I'm all about babies in the manger. Yeah, that's fine. But you've got to look beyond that manger. You've got to see His greatness for what it really is. And one of these days, I love Revelation chapter 19. Got to read this to you. Here is this great Messiah, this babe that was born, coming back. Verse 11, now I saw heaven opened up. John's telling us what he sees. Heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true and righteous, and he judges and makes war. Who is that? Jesus. Then in verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed in a robe that's dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen and white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know this Jesus personally. Do you? You see the joy of Christmas? You see the happiness? Happiness is not even a good word. We have reason to rejoice. And let me tell you something. When my King comes, there will be no impeachment hearing. There will be no impeachment hearing. There will be no special counsel. There will be no FBI investigation. Beloved, He's going to rule and reign, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. Even Satan himself can't stop it. Amen. Glory to God. You see the joy of Christmas? That starts in a manger. Actually, it starts 9 months prior to that manger, where the angel Gabriel appeared and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. This baby's going to be great. We move on. If you're going to understand the joy of Christmas, you're going to have to understand the miracle of Christmas. Mary's question. How is it possible? How is it possible? You see, Mary was not surprised that the Messiah was coming. I mean, everybody in Israel has been taught ever since they were old enough to be taught the Messiah would one day come. She's not surprised. She's surprised that she would be the mother of the Messiah, considering she's a virgin. And she just very simply, it's not doubt, it's a, how can this possibly be? And so the angel Gabriel answers her, and he says in his answer, he says, okay, I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, and therefore that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. You know what's really neat about that phrase? That word overshadow is the same word that they used to describe the presence of God in the temple of the Old Testament. Isn't that cool? That the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, going to come upon you, going to be in you, to live in you. But you know, even with this explanation, I'd have to back up and say, Lord, I don't get it. Lord, I just don't understand how this can happen. This young lady's never been with a man. How is she going to have a child? Put it in our language to make it understandable. The angel basically says, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. Something that only God can do. And I love the way he expounds upon it. And just in case, Mary, just in case there's any doubt on you that you have about this, look at your cousin Elizabeth. You see, Elizabeth, she was old. She was too old to have children. But she's 6 months into her pregnancy. And she's going to have a baby. Because Mary, with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, what I want you to get is, yes, it's miraculous. It's the power of God. It's a God thing only. But what I really want you to get about this miracle is what God is saying. You know, in the world that we live today, people are all about miracles. You want to draw a crowd, you claim to be able to work miracles. But you have to understand miracles. All right? Yes, I believe God can do anything He wants to do. I believe in the miracles of the Bible with all my heart. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I believe he was graveyard dead, buried. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he came out. It was a miracle. When Jesus would heal the lame and the sick and the blind, it was a supernatural miracle. But do you know why he did it? He never did it to say, look at what I can do. And that's why we want to look at miracles. He never did it to say, look at me. Look what I can do. God doesn't do that. Because God's not proud. He's not trying to impress you. You know what he's saying? He's not saying, look at what I can do. He's saying, listen to me. Don't you think about that? Not saying, look what I can do. He's saying, listen to me. I love you. It's an attention getter, is what it is. And yes, I understand all the biblical, well, I say I understand, or I appreciate all the biblical representation or how the Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ had to be born of a woman and he could not have an earthly father, because had he had an earthly father, he would have been born with a sin nature like all the rest of us. But having an earthly mother, but a heavenly father, he did not have that sin nature like the rest of us. He was God in the flesh, and I get all that, but you got to understand what Jesus was about here, okay? It was about God saying, I love you. And without Jesus, there's no hope. You see, that's what it's all about. From the beginning, you can go for the book of Genesis over to the book of Revelation, and it's all about God crying out to man, I am your only hope. I love you. And so as we look at the birth or the birth announcement of Jesus Christ, it's not just about a virgin having a baby. It's not about the baby, the wise men, and all that stuff we make it out to be. It is about Jesus. It is about God literally screaming, I love you. For God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The birth of Jesus, this miracle, everything about it is about the love of God. Grab onto that, okay? As we enjoy the Christmas and we go through all the hoopla associated with Christmas, don't let it get you down. Because you have a God who really, really loves you. And not even Satan himself can separate you from the love of your wonderful God. See, that's what this miracle is about. Saying, I love you. Then we go back to the maidservant. Mary's response to all this is, okay. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I love this, and this is a statement that every Christmas season that I have to read this, because it's, to me, it's the most, one of the most moving statements of this text. You see, a handmaid was the lowest kind of female servant that there was. Okay? You know, there's a hierarchy of slavery or a hierarchy of servants, and this word that she uses, maidservant, is the lowest of the low. And so what you're seeing is an absolute surrender to the will of Almighty God. She's saying, God, I totally belong to you. You do whatever you want to do. God, I'm all in. You know what you don't see? Mary never said, God, that all sounds good, but what's in it for me? Mary never said, well, that's good, but I want mine. Mary never said, I deserve better than that. She said, behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. You do according to your will. And it's at this point that I'm reminded, you know when I lose my joy? When I forget who I am. When I forget I'm a servant. I'm here to serve, not to be served. Therein is the joy of this Christmas season. You know, we talk and oftentimes we even teach our kids, you know, what do you want for Christmas? What's Santa Claus going to bring you and all that? And you know what we really need to teach? We really need to teach people how to serve. How to want to serve. Because, listen, the greatest joy that I have is when I'm serving. That's when I'm happy. That's when I'm, you know, the most satisfied. That's when there's true joy. Oh, sometimes sometimes old Satan, he gets me off track and I do have those thoughts. Well, I shouldn't, you know, I deserve better, or I want this and I want my way. Bottom line, I'm here to serve. And that's where my joy is, in serving. As a matter of fact, God has equipped me to serve. He's equipped me to serve as your pastor. Jesus knew this so much so that Matthew 20 verse 26, He said, whoever desires to be great among you
let him be your what? Servant. You want to know the joy of Christmas this year? Find someone to serve and to share the love of God with. Those who are the most miserable are those who have quit serving. You ever noticed that? Those who are not happy are those who are not serving, but those who are expecting to be served. Listen. For you to have the Christmas joy, you've got to understand the message. You've got to understand the miracle. But you've also got to understand your position as a servant of Jesus Christ. Today, my challenge is this. Let's take our eyes off the whatever distracts, and let's put our eyes on the Savior and the reason that He's placed us on this earth. Now, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the reason you're here today, you're not here by accident. You've been led here by God to hear the love story of the love that Jesus Christ had for you as He came to this earth. And you understand, He gave up heaven for you. He lived a sinless life and He went to the cross of Calvary, not because He had done wrong, but because you had done wrong. Now we can sit back and we can say what we want to about those Jews crucified Him and those Roman soldiers crucified. Hey, listen, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, that means you and I crucified Jesus. But in love, He hung upon that cross and said, "It is finished." Shared that phrase with you a week or so ago, but that's just one of the phrases that rings. When Jesus said, "It is finished," He said, "Paid in full." That meant He paid for every sin that I've ever committed. Well, now listen, you know, I'm a pretty bad fella. Through the course of my 57 years, I've done some pretty sorry things, I will just confess to you. But Jesus died, and His death upon the cross of Calvary paid for every sin I've ever committed. But not just my sin. Let's be honest, you've done some pretty sinful things too. For all have sinned. And Jesus not only paid for me, He paid for you. And you. And you. And you. And everybody here. Because He loved us. And you know what? He didn't just pay for everybody's sin here. See, now this bill's getting pretty big. Would you take all our sin? I mean, you combine everything we've ever done wrong. This is a pretty big sin bill, right? But He didn't stop there. He paid for the sin of everybody in Russellville, Arkansas. Everybody in Pope County. Everybody in the state of Arkansas. Everybody in the United States of America. He paid the sin debt for every sinner in this world. See, that's what the suffering, the torture, and the torment of Calvary was all about. And now He just very simply offers it to you as a free gift today. That gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Today, you can only experience salvation one way, and that's through the grace of God. And in faith, calling upon Him as the Savior, the Messiah of mankind, asking Him to save you and believing in the work that He's done upon the cross of Calvary to do so, and you'll be saved. Oh, Brother Doug, I've got to do something. Listen, you can't do anything. You've already blown it. Okay? Well, surely I can do something to make up for it. No. The only thing you can do to make up for it is die and spend eternity in hell. That's what the Bible means when it says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you saved? If not, I'm going to invite you to come this invitation. And for the saved, I want to challenge you. Hey, let's refocus. Let's put the smile, the joy of Jesus on our face as we celebrate this Christmas season. Heavenly Father, We do thank You. And we pray now that Your will be done in this service. And I pray, Lord, that You'll saturate this membership with Your joy. Lord, sometimes we do get sidetracked. We get thinking of what we can't do or what we want to do. And Lord, help us to remember. Help us to have the joy by focusing upon the birth of our Messiah. In Jesus' name I pray.